Father, I truly do thank you for all those who came out to sit in your presence today. I thank you, Father God, that you are in total and complete control of our lives and everything goes on around about us. I'm asking God, as the Holy Spirit moved during praise and worship, that you continue to move throughout the service. This is a special time for you, Father. Special time for your people, your church. And we stand in your presence, Father, waiting for you to do what you do best. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about what God is doing all across the land. I'm excited that fall is here, and everything God said he's going to do, he's going to accomplish this year. And I'm really believing with all my heart that the glory is going to fall, all the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be manifested within God's people. I mean, that's just where God's at. And we have to believe to receive, right? So I really want you to believe for whatever it is that you have need of and just watch God perform your miracle for you. Rosh Hashanah begins at sundown today and it ends on 9/27. What is it? It's Monday, Tuesday, right? Tuesday. So, during Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to be fasting, but since it doesn't start till sundown, just really have a good dinner today. Amen? And then God wants us to go into fasting for the next 10 days. Now, Rosh Hashanah is one of the Judaism's holiest days. Rosh Hashanah commemorates, the creation of the world and marks the beginning of the days of awe. Now, you remember when God's been telling us that we are living in the days of awe? He's been telling us quite a bit. If I look back for the last 6 months, that we're living in the days of awe. And the days of awe are repentance, days of repentance. So God's been trying to get us to repent for quite some time. And when I read this was studying about Rosh Hashanah, I thought, God, we're so dumb at times. He said, we're in the days of awe, and that was in the days of repentance. And we just thought it was something, it is something great and wonderful, but I just thought it was something different. Amen. Are they a 10-day period of introspection and repentance is what the days of awe are. That culminates in the Yom Kippur holiday, which is Wednesday, also known as the Day of Atonement. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a time of both celebration and repentance. Remember, God's been having us sing fast songs, and I try to get together slow songs because I'm like Sister Grace every now and then. I like to not have my nerves jingled, and I would just like to praise the Father quietly. But, we have to go along with what God is saying and not what we want. Jewish tradition teaches that Rosh Hashanah is a day when God, our King, listen to what it is, sets in judgment over the entire world. This evening, when Rosh Hashanah kicks in, God starts his judgment. Our New Year is actually a day of judgment. It is a time of spiritual renewal through prayer and deep personal reflection. Leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and that's in Leviticus 23:26-33. Wednesday, Brother Christopher is going to teach on Yom Kippur. All right, Leviticus 23:26-33, God said to Moses, the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly, fast, and offer a free gift to God. Don't work on that day. Some of you guys don't want to work. Just listen to this. Don't work on that day because it is Day of Atonement to make atonement for you before your God. Anyone who doesn't fast on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who works on that day. So just tell your boss, I just can't work or God's going to cut me off, right? Don't do any work that day, none. This is a perpetual degree for all the generations to come, whether you happen to be living. It is a Sabbath of complete and total rest, a fast day. Observe your Sabbath from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening. The special prayers for Rosh Hashanah are filled with references to God as King. By emphasizing that God is King, we remind ourselves that we are His subjects, that we are here to serve Him through what is broken in the lives of other people and building His kingdom together. You were supposed to repent, draw close to God, and then start concentrating on other people and what their needs are instead of what our needs are. Rosh Hashanah is also known as the Feast of Trumpets. And that's when I want Chris to blow the shofar again. We blew the shofar to open up Rosh Hashanah. And now we're going to blow it again right now. Mine eyes are upon you this day, my children. I am watching your hearts as you sit before me. I am watching to see if you will obey my words, if you will follow my precepts. I am watching to see if you will come up hither and sit at my footstool and be taught of me. I am watching to see if your heart is pure before me. And I'm watching to see if you are holy. I have called you, and I have called you, and I have wooed you for lo, these many years now. And I have asked you to walk in holiness, righteousness, and purity of heart. And I have asked you to come up hither over and over again. Some of you are trying too hard to come into my presence. Just relax, just rest in me, and allow me to draw you to myself. Sometimes you hinder the Holy Spirit by trying too hard to even worship me. I want you to be free. I want you to relax. And I just want you to enjoy your time with me. Your praises and your worship come up to my nostrils as a sweet-smelling essence. And I say unto you, you are learning how to worship me from a pure heart. You are learning how to worship me unhindered by the cares of the world, even your own pain. So I tell you this day that I am proud of you, little ones. I am proud of the accomplishment that you have made thus far. We have a lot of work to do in a very short time. And I'm asking you even this day to be still before me and listen to my still small voice of instruction. Many are going on the wayside, but I say unto you, each one of you know me And each one of you have followed me with all of your heart. And I'm going to use you to bring in this great harvest of souls. I have given you the former rain and the latter rain. And I will give you all of heaven as you go forth unhindered to do my perfect work. This is a time of great judgment all across the land. This is a time when I am judging not only my houses of worship, but I am judging also the outside world that claim to know me but do not. Do not be caught found wanting when you're weighed in the scales. Stay firm in your commitment to me. Keep your feet on the solid rock. Keep your heart wide open. I am going to send you many, many lost souls, and compassion must seep from the very core of your being. Understanding like you have never seen before will come forth from you, and I will give you revelation knowledge of what each one is going through. I am fine-tuning each one of your gifts. And children, you will know for surety of heart that your gifts are in operation and they are to be used at every avenue. Take nothing for granted. Seek my face continually. And I am bringing healing back into my house of worship. And I am bringing all the signs, wonders, and miracles, and they will follow you wherever you go. The hardships were there, yes. Not much joy at times, but plenty of hardships. But you came forth, you stayed the course, and you've won. I have called you into the battle, and I've told you do not to become battle weary. Sometimes you did, but you always brushed yourself off, got back up, and started walking all over again. And for this, I am going to do great and mighty works through you. You have proven to the Father of all lights that you love me, and nothing will stop you from your journey with me from this point on. There are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days, but I am in all of your days. Worship me like you've never worshipped me before. I have been training you in warfare with your worship. I have been training you to worship until you win the battle. These are the days of Elijah, my little ones. These are the days of the breakthrough for my children. These are the days of great warfare, but also great victory in all fronts. Never for one instant ever think that I have walked away from you. I am so involved in your everyday life. I want you to rely on me in your everyday life. I want all that affects you, I want you to bring it to me so that I, the Lord thy God, I can be in it with you. And the enemy will have no space, absolutely no space. Yes, we are headed into some of the worst times, but we are also headed into some of the greatest times in church history. All things around about you will change, and I have warned you that church will not be the same. And church is changing and has been changing, and it is not the same, but it's still my church. And if you are listening for my voice and follow me with all of your heart, the enemy will have no place in you. I want you to rise up with a shout, and I want you to proclaim victory on all fronts this day. And know that I, Lord thy God, I have judged you. And I say unto you, you have passed the test of time. And I say unto you, come into my open arms. And walk with me with surety of heart from this moment forth. Peer pressure is going to be very strong in the months ahead. Do not give in to the peer pressure. Stay the course with me. Hold my hand continually and know that I, the Lord thy God, that I am leading, guiding, and directing each and every one of your footsteps. You and I, we are one. One mind, one accord, one heart. And we will defeat the enemy on all sides. And you will be given victory shout after victory shout. For you will see that you are a strong tower that others can run into. And you will see that you are my true warrior that has come forth conquering on all sides. And nothing shall stop you from this moment forth. Now shout the victory right now. Now remember this day, remember this shout, and every time the enemy comes, remind him that this day you placed him under your feet and he can no longer conquer on any side. Victory, victory, victory. God said, victory is yours. Total and complete victory. No more doubt, no unbelief. All that the enemy has brought you throughout the days of your life up to this point will no longer affect you because it's total victory on all sides. God's just saying, can't you hear the wind blowing? Can't you feel the gentle breeze that's blowing across your brow? Okay, I said Rosh Hashanah is also known as the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets marked the beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance before God. It is one of seven Jewish feasts or festivals appointed by the Lord and one of the three feasts that occur in the autumn. Its name comes from the command to blow trumpets. Some ask, is Rosh Hashanah really Judgment Day? Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment for all mankind. On this day, man is judged for all of his actions. And all that will transpire and occur during the coming year is recorded. Deuteronomy 11:11 through 15 says, rather, the land you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain, a land that the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it through each season of the year. If you carefully obey all the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat. Now, you know we're supposed to go into a food shortage, so remember that. This scripture. Throughout the 10 days of awe, which is repentance, leading up to Yom Kippur, those practicing Judaism have been reflecting on the personal aspects of the past year, deciding how to improve, seeking forgiveness, and showing compassion to others. Let's read that again. Judaism have been reflecting on the personal aspects of the past year, deciding on how to improve and seeking forgiveness and showing compassion to others. So what you need to be doing is reflecting inward of how you've been living, what you've been doing, and then whatever God shows you, you need to be needs to be changed, then you need to work on that. Mm-hmm. Now, traditionally, the belief is that after judging a person by their deeds over the last year, Now listen to this. God decides who will be sealed in the book of life to live for another year and who will die. How was your past year? Rosh Hashanah is a time of forgiveness and new beginnings. So let's just go through this season, and then in this 10 days, you know, of fasting and praying, let's go through this. Let's get ourselves together, and then so we can live another year, if nothing else. All right, Rosh Hashanah is a time of forgiveness and new beginnings. Please take some time out of your week for serious introspection. In other words, look inward. Examine your heart before God and spend time in prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:12-14. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. You know, as I read that, I thought, well, you know, we're supposed to be in a time of 10 days of prayer. And so as we're praying, then God told Solomon that I have chosen this temple, and I'm believing God's going to choose our temples. All right, we're making sacrifices, we're changing things, we're doing whatever God's called us for to do. And so God has chosen our temple. And then God goes on to say, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. This he's judging, right? Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. So as we're praying, this we're a temple, right? I'm believing that God's going to at least choose my temple and the sacrifices I'm giving to him. And he's going to show me what is not right so I can get it right and then go ahead and bless me. All right. Rosh Hashanah is an intense season of warring for divine recovery. Intense season of warring for divine recovery. Now, 5782, which is 2021, was the year of God's truth being proclaimed. Isn't that what God's been doing? And 5783, the year 2022, will conclude with the act of judgment. God's been telling the church the truth. What has the church been doing with the truth? God's going to judge you on that. And Deuteronomy 11:1 says, you must love the Lord your God and obey all his requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands. Keep in mind that I am not talking now to your children who have never experienced the discipline of the Lord, your God, or seen his greatness and his strong hand and powerful arm. And as I was typing that, I thought, well, he says, keep in mind that I'm not talking now to your children. God's not talking to the outside world that he's going to send in. That's how I just perceived that. Or seen his greatness and his strong hand and powerful arm. The world has not ever seen that. All right? They didn't see the miraculous signs and wonders he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his land. The world has not seen the signs and wonders that goes on in the houses of God that are spirit-led. They didn't see what the Lord did to the armies of Egypt and to their horses and chariots, how he drowned them in the Red Sea as they were chasing you. He destroyed them, and they have not recovered to this very day. God is going to destroy your enemies. And, you know, I think one thing that we don't do right is that we're always complaining to God because somebody's getting one over on us. And God doesn't want us to do that because God said, we don't have any enemies, they are his enemies. All right, your children didn't see how the Lord cared for you in the wilderness until you arrived here. People don't see us in our secret place. They don't see how God is helping us. They don't see the miracles that God is performing in our lives. They didn't see what he did to Dathan and Abram, the sons of Eliab, a descendant of Reuben, when the earth opened its mouth and it was like camp and swallowed them, along with their households and tents and everything that belonged to them. But you have seen the Lord perform all these mighty deeds with your own eyes. Therefore, be careful. So because we've seen all this stuff, God said, therefore, be careful to obey every command I'm giving you today, so you may have strength to go in and take over the land you are about to enter. If you obey, you will enjoy a long life in the land of the Lord, swore to give to your ancestors and to you, their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, we've crossed over, guys. We've crossed over to that land of milk and honey. And now God expects us to get in there and do whatever we have to do to keep that land that God gave us freely. For the land you're about to enter and take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and made irrigation ditches with your foot as in a vegetable garden. Rather, the land you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain, a land that the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it through each season of the year. If you carefully obey all the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. If we want to be blessed, then we have to follow God's commands. People are fussing because just said God hasn't delivered them. Are you following all God's commands? There's something in your life that might be holding you back. I'm not going to say it is, because we, you know, God said we're going through Job experiences, so it could just be a Job experience that you're not being set free. But you need to really check yourself. Is there something that I am doing that's causing the enemy to do this to me? I've been doing that. Because, you know, so many of the prophets are out there saying that if you're sick, then there's something in you that there's a door open in you where the enemy can come and attack you. But I don't believe that. That might be in some, but I don't believe that. Because if you're going through a Job experience, God handed us over to the enemy, didn't he? He said, you can do anything to them, but kill them. All right, but be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is giving you. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you are getting up. I think mothers and fathers, it's time you sit down and start talking to your children about the Lord. It's time you sit down and reason with them and explain to them why they shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that, or why they should do this or should do that. You can't make them digest that. But it's your job to sit down and talk to them about it. It's your job to give them a chance to choose right or wrong. All right? And you don't become dogmatic about it. I mean, this Rosh Hashanah, God has shown me, this year is very, 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 it's serious every year, but it's very serious this year that we get it right with the Father. That we follow his commands and do everything he's telling us to do. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It really doesn't. Because the enemy's just making sure that we keep our eyes on the problem and not on God. All right, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. You know, we had company a while back in the summer, and my daughter brought a friend in, and she says, does your mother really love God? She has stuff about God everywhere. You know, let people know that you serve God. Let people know that you don't only talk God, you love God, you live God. We have to get rid of the demonic things we have sitting around in our homes, and we have to let God be the center of everything. Be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Then the Lord will drive out all the nations ahead of you. Though they are much greater and stronger than you, you will take over their land. Wherever you set foot, that land will be yours. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north, and from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you. Hear that. No one will be able to stand against you. God says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And I've been reading prophetic words, and I know that they're right because it witnesses to me that God is about ready to take the, you know, millionaires in that are not of him, and he's getting ready to take their money and give it to his children. Amen. You know, if God has called you to do a work, then he said he's going to keep you. How's he going to keep you? He's going to keep you by speaking to other people to give into your bosom, right? And, you know, and if he takes a millionaire, and let's just say he dies, he'll take that wealth and spread it around to his children that are really working for him, and they really need finances. We need to not worry about that. Amen. No one will be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will cause the people to fear and dread you, as he promised wherever you go in the whole land. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship God you have not known before. You know, I love my rings. Somebody stole all my really expensive rings from me. And I really have to, you know, that really bothers me. And I have to keep giving that to God because all of a sudden came to me. They might have been a god to me. I mean, these rings were, you know, they were, each one had a different reason why I loved them so much. But it was really wearing on me. Have you ever had anything do that to you? Really wear on you. And I give it to God and give it to God, and here it is again. But I really, the other day I was thinking, God, were they a god to me that just, you know, that's why I can't get over this? But I can't stop. I have to keep going until I know I'm totally and completely forgiven the person who stole them. And maybe you have something like that in your life. You know, you can't let it, then I really believe it comes a God whenever you can't let go of it and you can't do forgiveness. So, you know, don't let that destroy your walk with God, and don't let that steal your salvation. When the Lord your God brings you into the land and helps you take possession of it, you must pronounce a blessing at Mount Gerizim and the curse at Mount Ebal. These two mountains are west of the Jordan River in the land of the Canaanites, who live in the Jordan Valley near the town of Gilgal, not far from the oaks of Moriah. For you're about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land your God has given you. God told us we've already crossed the Jordan. We are already standing in the land that God has given us. Some of us might not realize that. And so we're cursing the place we're on, the land we're on, or the place we're at. And God has given it to us as a blessing, not as a cursing. You see that? Just because it doesn't look like you think it should look doesn't mean it's not a blessing from God. And I really think, I don't know about you, but I really think we need to stop, and we just need to sit and really look at things that are going on in our lives. What is God trying to show me with this? You know, just see what God, why God has you where you're at. And then be content in that state. I was trying to think about, there was an evangelist who he had kidney stones. I can't remember who, what was it, Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth, and he would go to the meetings. He had blood running down his legs, you know, from the kidney stones. And everybody said, you need to just, you know, stay home and get healed. But then he said, no, I have to minister the word. That's what God's called me to do. And he'd stand there in agonizing pain, blood running down his legs, and he would minister for hours. And what gives us the right, if we have a little headache, or a little pain in our leg, what gives us the right to say, I can't go and minister? I want you to think about this. It took Smith Wigglesworth quite a while before he passed the kidney stones. But he went, and I think God's laid that upon my heart. He went out and got dressed and went out and did his work for the Father. He did not let it stop him. People say, oh, I got a headache. I can't go to church tonight. You know, I'm a little bit dizzy, so I guess I'll go to bed. You know, and same thing with me with my leg. It's just all I can do to get dressed to, you know, go anywhere. I only go to church anymore. But, you know, sometimes I think, God, I just need to stay here in this bed. Is to get up and spend 2 hours trying to get dressed to go into the house of God. And I think that's why God laid Smith Wigglesworth on my heart. If he can do that, why can't we do that? Why can't we go into the house of God when we're hurting? It's just things you need. You really need to stop and look inside. What are you really doing? And what kind of a witness are you really? Are you understanding this? For you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land of the Lord your God is giving you. When you take that land and are living in it, you must be careful to obey all the decrees and regulations I'm giving you today. You might want to go home and read that again. Where was that at? And get that down into your spirit, because this season that we're in, right, that was Deuteronomy 11, 1 through 32. We are living in a time span where if we aren't careful, if we aren't following the commands of God, we could lose our promised land. And wouldn't that be a shame? We worked so hard to get here, and we actually crossed over the Jordan, and then one little simple thing would keep us from going any further with God. Rosh Hashanah is a day of starting this evening, is a day when we need to be repenting. We need to be looking inside of ourselves. Am I a true Christian on the inside, or am I just a Christian on the outside? When I need to be. Am I really a true child of God, or am I just putting on the airs of being a true child of God? Amen. I love to see you people up here dancing before the Lord. And I really think it would behoove others to think about, how do I worship God? Do I worship him thinking somebody's watching me, or do I just worship him because that's what's in my heart? Now, if it's true what I read here, you know, looked up, and God is judging us whether we live another year or not, I think some of us might be in a bad place. And I think we really need to get our life right with God and follow him with all of our heart. I don't know about you, but God is not going to drop the glory on you as an individual if you're not right with God. He is not. You have to be right with God so God can drop that glory on you. And God wants us all to be glory carriers. And sometimes when I watch what goes on in the church, I weep. Sometimes when I hear what people put out as a prophetic word and it's not a true prophetic word, I weep. Because judgment is coming, and the judgment isn't going to be nice. Are you really a true example of what Jesus Christ is all about? Amen. Somebody said to me, who was staying in my house, said to me yesterday, they got a free cell phone. And they said, I finally got it where it wouldn't work right. He said, I had to cuss and do really some vulgar things, but I got it done. Now, when he told me that yesterday, I wasn't feeling too good, but him and I will have a talk. You live in my house. You don't talk like that. You don't act like that over the phone or nothing. If you don't want to be godly, then you have to find someplace else to live. You take your little demons and go someplace else to live. You have to be careful who you have around about you. If you aren't careful who you have around about you, they will destroy your ministry. They will destroy you. They'll pull you down. And sometimes you're going to have to lose some friends in order to keep yourself right with God. And this morning what God wants to do is he wants to drop an anointing upon you that will stop the fear that comes up that you're not doing everything that God's commanding you to do. And when he drops that anointing on you, when you go before him and ask him, he's going to talk to you and tell you, yes, you're okay, or no, you're not okay. So if you want that anointing this morning, and God's saying you're going to carry that anointing to the nations too, when you minister to other people, that anointing will hit them and they'll start crying and they'll be asking you, am I really doing what God's asking me to do? And God's going to give you the answer. This is what we're here for. We're here to be servants of the Most High God. We're here to be servants to the world to teach them all about Jesus Christ. So the altar's open if you want that anointing from God.